Now may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Several years ago, my wife and I visited Rio de Janeiro in Brazil. We were on a ship, and as we approached the harbor, we could see a figure perched on a hill above the city. The figure is of Cristo Redentor. Translated from the Portuguese, it is Christ the Redeemer. It is an imposing figure, and basically you can see it from almost all areas of Brazil, of Rio de Janeiro. After we docked, we were able to go up to the base of the statue, and looking up at that statue, 124 feet high, made of concrete, over 600 tons, it's awe-inspiring. It's an amazing statue. It has been called one of the seven wonders of the New World. Indeed, it's hard to imagine how those arms of Jesus stay outstretched, since its dedication in 1931, it has been struck by lightning several times and amazingly only suffered minor damage. With those outstretched arms, its cruciform shape, it does reflect the means by which Christ died. You cannot see it without being reminded of the cross. In our reading from Paul's letter to the Corinthians, he says, "The message about the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to those who are being saved, it is the power of God." And Paul goes on, "We proclaim Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to the Gentiles, but to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. For God's foolishness is wiser than human wisdom, and God's weakness is stronger than human strength." This is a theme that runs through many of Paul's letters. That is, that God's wisdom turns human wisdom upside down. And it is centered on the cross, Christ crucified. Did you ever think about what actually happens when Jesus dies? When Jesus is nailed to the cross. Of course, we know what physically happens. Jesus suffers on that apparatus used to kill criminals, and he eventually dies. But I'm not talking about the physical. That is what the world sees, but let us try to look at it from God's perspective. As the cross is raised up with the figure of Jesus on it, we now see Jesus' arms stretched over those arms of the cross. Yes, we know that Jesus was nailed there and he didn't have any choice about it. But again, the cross, the wisdom of God, turns that logic upside down. An instrument of criminal death becomes the means of redemption. Cristo Redentor, Christ the Redeemer. So his arms stretched out into an exceedingly painful posture is turned around into a welcoming stance, mirroring the outstretched arms of that statue that we see in Rio de Janeiro. That welcoming stance is an invitation to come to Christ. In a sense, it is an invitation to come home. In our Wednesday evening Lenten series, we are focusing on forgiveness, and we are using the book, The Return of the Prodigal Son by Henry Nouwen, to help us look at that remarkable parable of the prodigal son. You know the basic story, the anger of one man's two sons asks for his half of his inheritance, even before his father has died. Amazingly, the father gives it to him, and he goes out to a foreign country and spends his fortune on what the gospel calls dissolute living. We can only imagine the debauchery, the drunkenness, the prostitutes, etc., that Jesus means by that. So when all the money is gone, he is reduced to getting a job feeding pigs. And he is so starving that he would gladly eat the husks that he is giving to the pigs, but no one gives him any. Finally, as the parable says, he comes to himself and decides to return home to his father and to ask forgiveness and to ask to be hired as one of his father's laborers. He makes his way back home, and when he is still far off, the father sees him. And the father runs to him and embraces him instead of rejecting him. The father kills the fatted calf and has a great celebration that the son has returned. Lent is about the ways that we have left home, either by turning away from God or by just kind of neglecting him, or by squandering what we have been given by him. Lent is about the things that get in the way of our relationship with God. Most often it is things like money, or houses, or cars, material things, or simply rich foods. But it can be relationships, it can be work, it can be school or social media. Lent is about becoming aware of those things. I used to have a prayer and meditation time every morning when I woke up. It was part of my morning routine. But in the past couple of years, the temptation to check the news online, to check email and messages, to check social media and words with friends has lured me in. I rationalize that I can do my prayer time later, and I don't want to miss the latest notification or news feed. But the problem is that more and more I was just not getting to the prayer time. I don't know what it might be for you. I don't know what might lure you away from your connection with God, but Lent offers an opportunity to discover what that is. You may have bought into the idea that we have given up so much during the pandemic that we shouldn't give up anything for Lent. Well, I just didn't buy that. But actually, it's not about giving up something for the sake of giving up something. The idea of giving up is helpful when it is something that blocks our relationship with God. However, the problem with the beginning of Lent is you may not even know what that is as Lent starts. So it's not too late, even though we are on the third Sunday in Lent, to discover what that is. Going back to the cross and the outstretched arms of the Christ, the Redeemer statue, Jesus is always ready to welcome us back. And that's the point of the prodigal son story. God, in the image of the Father, is always ready to welcome us back. Even more, he goes out to meet us. The cross is not all about suffering and death. Even beyond the welcoming stance of the Christ the Redeemer statue with the arms open wide, something emerges if you see that statue from behind. And you can see it online. I'm sure it was taken by a drone or something. But from behind, it looks like statue has a posture of embracing. It looks as if Christ is embracing all of Rio de Janeiro laid out before that statue. The cross is about Christ embracing me, you, and maybe the whole world. During this pandemic, one of the things that people miss is being able to embrace one another. I heard someone on the news who stood in line for hours, I think overnight, just to get a vaccine. And what she said was, I so miss being able to embrace my grandchildren. I know the feeling. I miss those grandchildren hugs very much. Longing to embrace. That is what God conveys in the image of the cross. God's longing to embrace us. Just think how amazing that is. Especially in this time when we are missing hugs, that we are embraced by Christ on the cross. Just as the father of the prodigal son runs out to embrace his son, Jesus takes the initiative and runs out to embrace us. And just as the celebrant will soon extend his arms as he celebrates the communion, also reflecting the cross to welcome us to the Holy Communion. Now, this is all foolishness according to the ways of the world, according to the wisdom of the world, but according to the wisdom of God, it is Christ, the power of God, reaching out to embrace us. We don't even need to take the initiative. God takes the initiative for us. God is always ready to welcome us back. And even more, he searches us out and comes to us. We just need to let Christ find us. We need to remove those blocks that keep us from allowing Christ in. Well, I didn't give up email or messaging or even social media for Lent or even words with friends. But what I have done as Lent has progressed, I have changed my morning routine. And I have put God first. My mantra has become God first. God first. I do my prayer and meditation time first. And Christ has welcomed me home and embraced me with those warm and everlasting arms. The message about the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to those who are being saved, it is the power of God. The world sees Jesus dying on an instrument of capital punishment. But we who are being saved see Christ welcoming us home, reaching out to embrace us. My prayer is that each and every one of you will know the powerful and loving embrace of the cross of Christ. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.